What are your top three techniques that you would give federal managers for motivating employees?
Well, that's a very fair question, but before I answer it, I have to set the groundwork.
Okay.
We'll do a little spade work here. First of all, managers do not motivate anybody. They can compel people to do something. If you don't do it, I will fire you. Okay. What managers do effectively is create conditions for people to succeed. We know through research that motivation is intrinsic. It is not imposed. It comes from within. So managers have to, especially in this challenging circumstance, have to work with what they have. And it's my belief that leaders really have to be perennial optimists. That doesn't mean they're Pollyannas, but they have to be adopt the mindset, at least at work, that the glass is half full rather than half empty. I think by setting that standard is, yes, we are limited. These are the limitations. Let's not dwell on them. No more pity parties. Let's focus on what we do. So I would affirm the work. I would affirm the value of individual employees, and I would find conditions where employees can succeed and reward them for that, however that means, and promotions or things like that. So it's really a holistic effort. Motivation is not a gimmick. And when it is a gimmick, I mean a quick hit for an incentive bonus or a quick pat on the back, whatever, employees know that. They see through it in a heartbeat. Motivation genuinely comes from within, and so it must be nurtured as such. It's an adoption of behaviors. And we motivate ourselves, truly, but we motivate ourselves because we want to achieve something. So what are the achievements that are being recognized? So it's up to the manager to set the expectations, coach for those expectations, provide people with the resources, affirm that they're receiving that support, and recognize them for the work they've done and move forward. And it's a continual process of setting expectations, providing support, affirming behavior and achievement, and on and on like that.
So when you say, you know, affirming behaviors, do you find that people most times, you know, even something as simple as a thank you is something that they're looking for? Or are we talking about, you know, something bigger here? Maybe,
Simple. It's a couple of things. It can be as simple as a thank you. Also, what works is recognition in front of one's peers, saying, "Julie, you did a great job on this. I know how hard you worked." You know, and letting other people know that, letting your superiors know who's done the work, calling out people. I mean, this is where the military excels at doing things like this. So recognizing what people do well and rewarding them for it. If you don't have the extrinsic awards, let's reinforce it intrinsically by affirming them, hey, you're a valued contributor, you've helped our customers, you've helped people achieve the work, and I am grateful to you, and our team is grateful to you. Good job.
So what advice would you then give to the federal employees, if we take a look at it from the other side, who say, you know, I'm not getting that from my manager?
You hit the nail on the head. Federal employees I've gotten to know, I think, are very hardworking, want to do an excellent job, and are motivated to succeed. However, the way the system works, it becomes so overly bureaucratic that people feel that it thwarts individualism and it thwarts recognition in the sense, so people will just throw up their hands and say, well, why should I do this? You know, and that kind of malaise will roll down into ranks of management. And so there's an erosion of faith in the system, and there's an erosion of trust in managers. The research that the Gallup organization has done, starting with the book, The First Break All the Rules, showed that people relate most to their bosses rather than the jobs as a whole. So if I have a good relationship with my boss, I'm going to be more positively predisposed to doing a good job and feeling good about it, okay? If I am at odds with my manager, if I don't trust my manager, that is going to erode my level of engagement and my level of commitment to what it is that I do. So I would still advise employees the same thing. Is if you're going to stay in the system, you have two choices. You can give up and say all is lost and forget about it. Just clock your time, you know. Or you can make the best of it by seeking ways that you can grow your own talents, grow your own skills, make that positive difference, with the recognition that, hey, I may not even be recognized for it, but at least I'm self-motivated. At least I'm going to do the best I can do. Does that sound like happy talk? It probably does. But what other choice do you have?
Let's say a manager does find themselves in a situation where their workforce is unmotivated, or it's a new manager who's coming in and they're saying, wow, this workforce that I've just inherited is very unmotivated. Is it some, you know, is motivation something that you can get back quickly, or because of those trust issues that you were talking about sometimes, is it something that takes a little bit longer?
Yeah, you raised a very valid question. No, it's not instant. And even if you were to go around and spread $100 bills on people's desk, you would get their attention, but you wouldn't get their motivation, nor would you get their commitment. You get a quick hit, you know, and a smile, but that's not lasting. So what it is you need to do, and if you're inheriting a department which is dispirited, what I would try to do is I'd spend time getting to know the individuals, talk about the work. I'd do one-on-one meetings, small group meetings, and I'd have a big staff meeting. I might give people a chance to express their point of view about past performance. I would let them vent a little bit. But then after a certain time period, I would say, time out. That's the past. What are we going to do next? You know, and then say, come to the meeting with one suggestion you'd like to see done. Okay, then you take those suggestions, discuss them. How are they going to work? How are they not going to work? Implement those things that you can implement. Very often they're process improvements and they will cost nothing, but they can make employees' lives a lot easier. And don't expect that's going to change things either immediately. You have to keep reinforcing it. You have to keep listening to employees. You have to keep reinforcing them. And you have to continually strive to give them ownership in the process, okay? That doesn't mean if an employee says, hey, I'd like to do this, you have to do it. No, but you're listening to them, and you're willing to listen, and you do listen, and you're willing to take it under consideration. And you do make changes where changes are possible and necessary. So, in other words, employees feel more voice in the system, more ownership in the process, and in their work. That creates levels of engagement. But it doesn't happen overnight, and at times it will be an upward slog. And frankly, there will be some people, the outliers in your system, that are just there to throw stones and don't want to participate and only wanting to gum up the works. You need to find a way to, if you can't get rid of them, marginalize them so they can't infect the rest of the team.
What motivational techniques don't work? What do people try, or, you know, the things that people think are going to work and they just don't?
No aspersions to you, but by referring to motivational techniques, that means there's something that you do. It's a process. So, I mean, promising the sky and under-delivering. Quick bonuses that, you know, are fleeting. The way you undermine it in general, it's not so much what you do, it's what you don't do. Failing to recognize performance, failing to affirm the value of the work, failing to reinforce positive behaviors, allowing a workforce to flounder, to allowing levels of unengagement to rise, all of those kinds of things. So that's what harms the whole motivational process. But to distill it into a couple of tips, that's looking for a quick hit, and it's not going to happen. So if you look at it as a holistic process of setting expectations, providing resources, affirming the work, affirming positive behaviors, and reinforcing and recognizing people's positive contributions, that's how you generate and create a culture where people are motivated.
You've worked with NASA. You've worked with the Department of Defense, Air Force, Army, Department of Education. What are the biggest questions federal managers ask you when you're working with them about these kinds of things?
As an outsider, as a non-government employee, what hits me in the face is the commitment of individual employees and the failure of management to support them. And I'm not calling out individual managers per se. I'm calling out the bureaucracy. And that bureaucracy is such that it allows unmotivated managers, or maybe undisciplined managers, to run riot in a system and thwart the contributions of individuals. So, not to sound cliche-ish, but it's the system that hurts the employee rather than individual managers. I feel that employees are fighting against the odds to make good things happen, yet they do it.
Do different motivational tools or processes work better for some groups rather than other, like, say,
Sure.
gender or age?
Yes, absolutely. All of us are motivated by different things, and we are at different life stages. So, for example, an older employee, and there's research to show this. Actually, there was a study I was just trying to get, and I can't remember who did it. But the first one I'd seen, a demographic study, according to three age groups, millennials, Gen X, and baby boomers. Each one had different aspirations for what they wanted out of their job. So, yes, there are differences. So what a younger employee is looking for, fair compensation, maybe chances for promotion. A Gen X employee is looking for good, solid contributions and the opportunity to an advance. The older employee is still thinking about a little bit of advance, but is more concerned with exit, my retirement, my security, and so how much am I making now? As individuals, some of us are motivated more by money than others. Others are motivated by things like time off. I'm calling these the perks. Others are the good benefits that you have. But others, I mean, the people really, once you satisfy income, and years of research, decades of research show this, once you satisfy income, money no longer becomes a motivator. What motivates people is recognition. So recognition will take many forms. It's the pat on the back. It's the recognition of peers. It's the recognition of superiors. It's support from subordinates. It's also the chance to advance, the chance to develop one's skills, the chance to get a higher education. The military is great at this. It often sends its officer corps back to do a master's degree, even PhD degrees. All of those things are motivational factors. It's the involvement of the management and leadership in individuals. That is a form of recognition. That nurtures positive behaviors.
And so a good manager, would you say, would be able to recognize what motivates the various people in their organization and then do things for that particular employee that will motivate them the best?
Absolutely. It's what I used to call it, the motivational tick factor. What turns you on, you know? And, you know, some people just, hey, they just want to put in an 8-to-5 job, you know? They don't want to move up in the system. They're good, solid performers. Hey, I'll do whatever you ask me to do, but, you know, I really don't want to stretch myself. Others want to stretch themselves. They want challenges. You communicate one way with one group and another group and another way. So you find out what it is they want to achieve. How do you find out these motivational tick factors? You have a conversation about it. This gets me to another conversation, but I think it reinforces the motivation is management is really a process of coaching. From what I've observed, there isn't a lot of coaching going on in some of the systems that I have observed. In other words, coaching in the sense of what's my employee looking for? How can I provide that for him? How can I provide that guidance? How can I challenge him or her appropriately? How can I counsel him? How can I give him constructive criticism? How do I develop him and her? Why? So I help the whole team achieve and I help my department succeed.
You talked a little bit there about the military and how they motivate extremely well. One of the examples you gave is, you know, educational opportunities. What else do they do that is so great?
Well, it's first of all, it's pride in the mission, pride in the service, pride in my fellow soldiers. That's the overriding concept. Also, how do you get rewarded? Well, you move up in rank. And then when you move up in rank, you get a pay increase. But every soldier, generally, non-commissioned officers as well as officer corps, are doing multiple different assignments throughout their career. Here's a plum job here. Here's a plum assignment there. Take that. It doesn't always work out. As we all know people don't get the assignments that they want, but that's a form of it. I also sense that the officers that I know, and most of the folks I've dealt with are on the officer corps, are very attuned to the needs of their soldiers. They pride themselves on being soldiers. That is, doing whatever I can to help my individual soldiers succeed. And that's both inside the camp as well as outside the camp, especially in these continual deployments that folks have to go through in and out. You know, the officers who really earn the trust of their men and women support are those who are there for them And, you know, the things that leaders do are be seen, be heard, be there. And be seen is visible, be heard, you know, what is the message and what do we need to know, and also listen to my troops. But be there in this, that metaphorical sense, which reinforces the motivation is, I care about you, I'm invested in your welfare, and I'm going to do what I can to help you succeed.
How can managers motivate themselves? Part of this survey that we did with federal employees asked managers as well if they themselves felt motivated, and some of them said that they did not.
I mean, if you're unmotivated, the team will be unmotivated. But here's the thing. As it gets back to my original premise, is motivation is intrinsic, okay? So it is up to you to motivate yourself regardless. Even if you have a fantastic boss, it's still up to you to do the work, follow through, and commit to it. So how do you motivate yourself per se? What is it you want to do? What gets you up in the morning? You know, what is it you want to achieve? What are your goals? What are your long-term goals? What are your short-term goals? Are you working toward them? Are you really doing what you want to do? If you're not doing what you want to do, how can you get to that? What should you be doing? What if you want to take on another assignment, does that mean more training for you? Does it mean that you need to go back to school? How can your manager or management support you in that effort? But ultimately, it comes into your willingness to commit to the job and do it the best you can do. So that's it. And there should be a form of satisfaction in doing a job well done. But if you're just going through the motions, then likely you're not going to be motivated by your work. As far as ways of getting motivated, I think, are staying fit, eating right, you know, dressing well. I mean, I don't mean, you know, overboard that way, but feeling good about yourself and wanting to present yourself well, okay? Reading inspiration, reading stories of people who achieved. How did they do it? And is there anything parallel that I can learn from that? So, you know, discipline, hard work, those kinds of things, are they motivators for you? Many people feel energized by having a disciplined schedule and staying to it. Others, that's not what they want to do. But so it's finding your own, what motivates you. And ideally, what motivates you is wanting to do a job and wanting to do it well and feeling that you're making that positive difference.